Prior to Jesus' ministry, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. After he fasted and prayed 40 days and nights, Jesus left his temptation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to those he spoke to, their children, and all who were far off. This means that you too can cry out to God to be saved and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Cry out to him today.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
One of the bills that was passed by the Florida legislature this past year that has been in the news is the Parental Bill of Rights bill, which has been termed or titled by its adversaries that Don't Say Gay bill. I remember when I was in Tallahassee in January lobbying for the protection of every innocent human life without exception. We were at the Florida Family Policy Council prayer breakfast, and I had a meeting, an early meeting with Senator Gail Harrell, and I actually needed to leave that prayer breakfast just a little bit early to make sure that I got to the Capitol and got through the security and got up to Senator Harrell's office in time. And as I was leaving, I saw two protesters standing outside the prayer breakfast, and they were holding signs that were saying that we're not pro-life because we won't let people say that they're gay. And now, by the way, the bill does not say don't say gay. That's just what one side of it, the opponents, have. Really, it's propaganda. But we are going to actually ask the question, well, what should we believe about this? What should we think about this? And how do we determine truth? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to start off talking about how we determine truth. And as we do, one of the things you might say, well, you know, if you've been listening to our sermons, you probably know we talk about this topic quite a bit. In fact, every topic that we talk about, we at least cover this, we at least embrace this, we at least mention this, but we're going to remind you. And sometimes even if you do know this, it's good to have a reminder. And also, we're doing this because many Christians don't know how to determine truth, or don't do so in a biblical standard as well. Or anyway, if we look at George Barna in his book Revolution, which is just a fascinating book, I would encourage you to read that, and it really, really will shake your world if you aren't aware of this. But according to him, and he is, by the way, is a major researcher on Christian issues, only 9% of all adults have a biblical worldview. This means that less than 1 in 10 Christians age 18 or older believes absolute truth exists, believes that such truth is contained in the Bible, and possesses a handful of core beliefs that reflect such truth. Those beliefs include a certainty that the Bible is accurate in its teaching. Jesus lived a sinless life on earth. Satan is real, not symbolic. All believers are responsible for sharing their faith in Christ with others. The only means of salvation is through God's grace. And God is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe who still rules it today. The other 91% of born-again adults possess a patchwork of theological views, and rarely rely on their perspectives to inform their daily decisions, or on those perspectives to inform their daily decisions. Although the typical believer contends that the Bible is accurate in what it teaches, he or she spends less time reading the Bible in a year than watching television, listening to music, reading other books and publications, or conversing about personal hobbies and leisure interests. So we ask, should we be reminded of how we should determine truth? According to this, we actually should be. And if you look at in 2 Peter chapter 1, we see that the Apostle Peter said that there were things that were so important that he would remind them, even though they knew about these things, he would remind them, and he would make sure that he continued to remind them, and even make sure that even after he departed this earth, even after he died, that they would have a reminder, that someone would come and remind them. And we read verses 10 through 15 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of those things after my decease. So here again, Peter is saying, listen, I know that you know this, and he's even talking about salvation and the importance of making our calling and election sure. And by the way, many Christians believe either that God is sovereign in salvation or that we are personally responsible for our salvation. But the Bible actually teaches both as equally true, and there are even some passages that present both. But this passage is really talking about, really, it is talking about the sovereignty of God. That's the calling. That's the election. God does the calling. God does the election. But he's also talking about our responsibility to make our calling and election sure. So even something as clear and as simple and as fundamental as salvation, the Apostle Peter thought that it was so important that even though people knew this, that they would be reminded of this, and that they would actually be reminded, that he would remind them, and then even after he was dead, that he would make sure that others would come and remind them of the truth. We just celebrated and just remembered the crucifixion of Jesus and celebrated his resurrection. And one of the passages that's so clear in that is where Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? In John chapter 18, verses 37 through 38, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Now, Pilate was being sarcastic. He wasn't really, he was not saying that because he was seeking truth. But the question is still a valid question, and it's one that we need to ask, especially when we're looking at and applying and determining what we should believe on a particular topic. Should we listen to our favorite actor or our favorite newscaster, our favorite commentator? Should we listen to our favorite politician, whether that's Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Whether it's Ron DeSantis or AOC, should we listen to someone that's a politician? Should we listen to a singer? Should we listen to a professional athlete? Should we listen to someone who's a newspaper columnist? Someone who we respect, maybe a friend even, maybe someone that, maybe our parents. What should we base what we believe on? the first thing that we should base what we believe on and what truth is on the Word of God. And we can actually look in John chapter 17, verses 17 through 20. We'll see that Jesus said that God's Word is truth. Sanctify them. Jesus is praying here in John 17. This is the high priestly prayer. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by your truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who would believe in me through their word. So he's praying that God would sanctify them through truth, by his truth. And he follows that up by your word is truth. So God's word, the Bible, is truth. And the Bible obviously doesn't speak about a bill that was written in specifically about a bill that was written in 2022, because the Bible was written much earlier. But the principles of the Bible can be applied and should be applied to every area of life. We should be reading the Bible. And when I say reading the Bible, I'm not just talking about reading a verse a day. I'm talking about reading it enough so that you can know how God wants you to live this life, and also how God wants your family to live, and also what rules and regulations and laws that God established for our cities, our states, and our nation, and also the nations of this earth, because the Word of God is applicable to every single nation. You see, God speaks not just about you, and he also speaks about your family. He speaks about your church, and he speaks about your local government, your state government, your federal government. He speaks about the nations of this earth, and we need to read the Bible enough. And by the way, you'll never get to a place where you know everything that there is that God can reveal to you from his word. You can be the smartest person. You can read the Bible in its original languages and read it through multiple times a year and study it, and you still will not know everything that there is to know. So we always, every single one of us, needs to be reading the Word of God. We need to be devouring it. We need to be actually consuming it on a regular basis, not just a verse a day, but actually reading it to the point where we can base our belief system and where we develop what's called a biblical worldview, where everything that we believe is based on the Word of God, where the Word of God and what we have learned from the Word of God shapes our beliefs, it shapes our outlook on life, it shapes how we view the world and how we view various issues in the world. And it is, in fact, our primary source of truth. Certainly, with certain topics and certain things, you know, a historical event, we need to examine what actually happened. But we can apply biblical principles to every single thing that we believe. In Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 137 through 160. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. So here, in the first few verses of this, you know, we see that God's judgments are upright, that his testimonies, which he has commanded, are righteous and faithful, that zeal has consumed him because of the enemies that have forgotten gotten the law of God, and that his the word of God is pure, and therefore his servant loves it. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. So, you know, you might think sometimes, you know, you look at some other people, you look at some other people and you see, wow, that person's very successful. That person is very wealthy. That person is very influential. And what am I compared to them? Well, even if you're small, even if you are not very, don't consider yourself influential, or other people don't consider you very influential, you still have an opportunity to not forget God's precepts. And by the way, never underestimate how much impact you can have on someone's life when you do something as simple as sharing the truth of the Word of God with them. In verse 142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. So God's righteousness doesn't just stop. You know, we can be righteous to a certain extent, but every one of us has fallen short of God's glory. Every one of us is a sinner. But God's law is truth. The law of God. What are we talking about, the law of God? Well, we're talking about his statutes that you can read. Typically, you'll see these quite a bit in the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. You'll see about the law of God. And his law is truth. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. So even when we're in trouble, even when difficulties are coming our way, the commandments of God need to be something that we delight in. We need to look at his word, not just one verse a day, and not just a certain portion of the Bible. You need to be reading, and we need to be reading, the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, the New Testament. We talked last week about how Jesus preached the gospel from the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And you need to be able to preach the law, the gospel from the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And the only way you'll be able to do that is if you actually read the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, and study it, and ponder it, and meditate upon it, and think about it. This is what we are to actually do on a regular basis. Verse 143, truth and anguish have overtaken me, or trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. Verse 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. So here we see a prayer that God would give us understanding. The psalmist even talks about being wiser than his instructors because he was meditating upon the word of God. You see, we need to learn from our instructors, whether that is an instructor in school, whether that is an instructor in a business, as a business coach, as a life coach. We need, or even learning from pastors and preachers, but we also need to be studying God's word and meditating upon it, so that in asking God to teach us his truth, and asking God to show us so that we can actually have wisdom, and asking God to give us understanding, to give us wisdom. Verse 145, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. So we are to cry out to him and to ask him to help us to keep his statutes. And as we are meditating on his word, as we're reading his word, we'll read later that his word has a profound impact in helping us to live according to his commandments and to keep his commandments. And Going on in verse 146, I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. So when we're in trouble, it's okay. We should cry out to God and ask him to save us. And we need to keep his testimonies. Verse 147, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. So even before the sun came up, the psalmist was rising up. He was crying out to God and hoping, finding hope in the word of God. Verse 148, my eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. You know, sometimes people have a hard time falling asleep. Well, try meditating on the word of God during that time. Try praying. Try seeking God during that time. And what does meditating mean? It really means, literally, it means to mutter. It means that you are thinking about the word of God. You're speaking it forth. You can speak it forth quietly if you're in the same room with your spouse or maybe in the same room with a sibling. You can quote it quietly so that you don't disturb them. But we need to be meditating on the word of God. And, you know, even throughout the night, to be thinking about God's word and allowing his word to shape our thinking. Verse 148, my eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. 149, hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. Draw near, they draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. So those who follow after wickedness were drawing near to the psalmist, and they were far from the law of God. Verse 151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. So even though the enemies were coming, and those who despised God's commandments, those who were seeking his life, they were drawing near. God was still nearer. And this reminds me of the words of Corrie Ten Boom when she was that she wrote about being in the concentration camp in Nazi Germany. And she wrote that there is no pit that is so deep that God is not deeper still. So just remember that. There is no pit that is so deep that God is not deeper still. There is no time in your life when your enemies will be so close to you that and in pursuit of you that God is not nearer or cannot be nearer if you will draw nigh unto him. And so in verse 152, concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you founded them forever. So the word of God is not only true, but it is founded forever. Never going to change. God doesn't change and his word doesn't change. You know, there are some people that want to change the word of God. They want to, well, let's just not talk about that portion of scripture because it doesn't fit with what I believe or what I want to believe. It doesn't fit with what the people that are coming to this church believe. And we want to minister to them. Well, we want to minister to them with truth, and God's word is truth, and it is established forever. And we don't change what we believe because culture changes. We call unto the culture and proclaim the word of God and call for the culture to conform to God's word. Verse 153, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. So we should pray and we should keep God's commandments to the extent that we are able and actually pray that he would allow us and empower us to keep his commandments. And as we read the word of God and meditate upon it, he will allow us to do that and will empower us to do that. But we don't forget God's law, and we should use this as a means of actually praying and crying out to God to deliver us from our affliction. Verse 154, plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. So we are to plead ask God to plead our cause and to redeem us and to revive us according to His Word. It's proper to read the Word of God and to remind God of His Word and to remind Him of what He has promised and ask Him to fulfill that. Verse 155, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. So here we see that the wicked, salvation is far from them. Why? Because they're not seeking God's statutes. They're not pressing in. They're not trying to have understanding in how to obey God. Revive me. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies. Yet I do not turn from your testimonies. Even when you're going through difficult times, even when people are persecuting you, when you have difficult times, and let me tell you something, the psalmist David had huge amounts of difficulty in his life. And yet he still pressed in to God. And he still remembered the testimonies of God. Verse 158, I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. And then in verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So not just a portion of the word of God, not just the parts that you like, not just the parts that fit what the modern culture is willing to accept, or what a certain person that is attending your church is willing to accept. The entirety of God's word is truth, and we need to base our beliefs on the entirety of God's word. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Prior to Jesus' ministry, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. After He fasted and prayed 40 days and nights, Jesus left His temptation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to those He spoke to, their children, and all who were far off. This means that you too can cry out to God to be saved and ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Cry out to Him today.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you will prevail. Powers of the darkness will crumble. Your God will stay beside you, Hero Israel. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you will prevail. Powers of the darkness will crumble. Your God will stay beside you, Hero Israel.
For you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Thousands may fall to your left and your right, but fear cannot overtake you.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper.